Acts chapter 2, and we are reading from verse 1. So Acts chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. This is on page 1093 in the version of the Church Bibles that I am using. Page 1093. So we're continuing with our series in the book of Acts entitled The Church That Changes the World. And we look at this extraordinary, significant event, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" Well, we've had some birthday cards already this morning. And this, in a very real sense, is a birthday card for us, for God's church. Because in a sense, this marks the birth of the church. It is our birthday. Yes, of course, God was gathering a people in the Old Testament. He was drawing a people to himself. And yes, of course, Jesus in his earthly ministry went about calling people to follow him, gathering a community of disciples. But here in Acts chapter 2, something extraordinarily new and fresh and wonderful is happening. The Spirit poured out on all people. The Spirit poured out on his church. And it's so exciting and wonderful. This is our birthday card. This is our birthday text. And we think of this from an individual standpoint, that God wants to come and deal with us as individual disciples, wants to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, and that is so important. But it's vital that we don't miss the corporate dimension here. For all of us as God's people, here in this gathering, here in this place, God wants to fill us and equip us as a people together. And the fact that no one is missed out is emphasized very strongly here as Luke relates the account. Just look at these first few verses together with me. They were all together in one place. And I think we are to assume not just the apostles, the 11 plus Matthias, who has recently been chosen, but the 120 who are referred to in Acts chapter 1, women and men together. And these sound like a mighty wind comes, and tongues of fire are there, and the sound fills the whole of the room, and the tongues separate and rest on each of them. Again, it's emphasized. No one is missed out. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for each one of us. This is for us as individuals, and for us as a church together. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, we can be the church that changes the world. And it's good to capture a sense of this, of the excitement, of the dynamism, that something wonderful is happening. It's very easy to plunge in and look at the individual verses and sort of pick it apart like you would dissect an animal on a table. And if you do that, then you might have an understanding of how it works, but there's not going to be a lot of life. And this is just full of life and colour and excitement and passion. And as we saw on that video, language is sort of strained at the seams here as it is described. So sound is like a mighty wind. It wasn't a mighty wind, but that's sort of what it seemed like, plus a bit more, and that's the best way that we can actually describe it. There were what seemed like tongues of fire. It wasn't that. It was actually more wonderful than that, more dynamic than that, more supernatural than that. But the language that we've got, this is the best way that we can describe it. And then this extraordinary event, as they begin speaking in other languages, as the Spirit enables them, and the crowd gather, you can imagine them rushing to the scene, coming to the scene, what is happening here? And there is something that's not neat and tidy, and something that's not respectable. It's dynamic and dangerous, and it's touching people's hearts, and there's confusion. Well, maybe they've had too much to drink, they've had too much wine. And so it's important that we get a sense of this, a sense of the power of what God is doing. Catch a sense of the excitement this morning as we look at these amazing verses. The wind really is powerful. There are a couple of pictures coming up on the screen. Storm Eric. One of them is from Scotland, the one on the right as you look. And one of them is from my drive. Admittedly, the one on my drive isn't quite so dramatic. You know, it doesn't look like this great storm. But actually, all over the garden, there are these branches that have come down from the trees. The honest reality is that it doesn't look that much different to what it looked before. But now I can blame the storm and say, we had this great storm, and that's why there's a bit of a mess. When the wind comes, there is power. Things move, things get blown away, things change their shape. And this mighty wind is coming, and there is a great change coming upon God's people. May we know that change this morning as we reflect on these things together and as we receive God's word in the power of the Spirit. So what is happening here? Well, God is pouring out his Spirit on his people, and there is something very fresh that is happening here. The explanation will come as we look at Peter's sermon and as he quotes from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. But there is no doubt that this is something new. And again, of course, the Holy Spirit had been given previously. We know that Jesus, God's own Son, was anointed, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove at his baptism. And we know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to particular people at particular times for particular tasks. But the Spirit wasn't poured out on all people who believe in God in this way previously. And sometimes the Spirit could be withdrawn. So David in Psalm 51, after he has sinned, prays, "Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me." Perhaps remembering King Saul, his predecessor, from whom the Spirit departed. Something new is happening here. Something altogether wonderful, where all of those who believe, all of God's people, are receiving the Holy Spirit, are receiving this power. And it's because Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen again. Jesus has ascended into heaven. And the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit on the people. This is a new chapter, a new era in the life of God's dealings with men and women. And it's not just these 120, and it's not just the church who is here in Jerusalem. It's clear from this passage that the Spirit is for others. As the Spirit comes upon them, they speak in these other languages, and all these people can understand and hear. People in their own languages, these 15 people groups who are mentioned. The sweep sort of goes from east to west. And as a number of commentators point out, although they are all either Jewish or converts to Judaism, in another sense, they represent the nations of the world. In Genesis chapter 10, we read of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, descendants of Noah, from whom the nations are descended. And although most of the people mentioned here in Acts 2 are descendants of Shem, they are Semites, there are also some descendants of Ham, and there are also some descendants of Japheth. Luke doesn't point out explicitly what it seems that he is doing, but there is something here in the way that God is working and the way that is written up that says this is for all of those who will believe all over the world. Every nation, in a representative sense, is here. And they are hearing the Christian good news. Acts 1:8, you will go into all of the world, Jerusalem first, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And now the Spirit has come, that promise is beginning to be fulfilled. Those who have come to Jerusalem are hearing the word of God in their own language. So there's something wonderful and powerful and new and fresh and great for individuals, great for the church, but it is something for beyond. There are yet more people who need to come into the kingdom. God is gathering a people from all over the world. And we rejoice this morning that that includes you and me, all of us who have believed. And we rejoice also that God wants to fill us and equip us so that many more will press into his kingdom. So what is this experience and how does it relate to us? The Spirit comes and there is speaking in tongues or speaking in other languages. I want to talk about this for a bit. And the first thing that I want to say is that there is no need for division on this. In fact, if there is division within the church, then we have missed the point of this. Because as I think we've already seen, this is something that is uniting. It is for all. It is for each one of them. And it brings together people from very diverse backgrounds, different languages, different areas of the world. They are united as they hear the gospel together and as the Holy Spirit works. The Spirit is a spirit of unity. As you know, I teach at St. Hill's College in Sheffield and Merfield occasionally. And I did a day for them in Merfield yesterday. The car was buffeted by the wind on the way there, my little car driving along. And there was that sense, perhaps, of the Holy Spirit. And because we were looking at modern church history, we looked at the charismatic movement in the 1960s, 70s, and beyond. I sort of assume that you know about this, but you may not do. And there was a time in God's church from the 1960s onwards where there was a real sense of a move of God's Spirit as people spoke in tongues. There was an openness to miracles of healing, and many of us believe that was a great move of God in God's church. But it caused division. And as we talked about this, a number of the students are effectively my own age. We've lived through this. And one of the students shared a really sad story of division. When he was very young, a church divided on this issue. And clearly it still marks him today. And we were able to talk this through and pray this through as a group. There is no need for division here. First of all, this is for all of us, and God is good and gracious. Not necessarily the speaking in other languages, because God gives different gifts to different people. And yet a filling of the Holy Spirit is for each one of us. And it comes to us in different ways. This is the point. So what I want to do is try and take the heat out of this. One of the mistakes that we make, and that was clearly the mistake in this chap's church, is that people had had a particular experience and had responded in a particular way with particular gifts, speaking in tongues, and a sense, almost an ecstatic experience of God. And we're trying to say everybody needs to have the same experience in the same way, with the same effect and the same result. And actually, that's not how God works in our lives. Sometimes he comes in quiet ways. And we see in the book of Acts that as the Spirit comes to people, people respond in different ways. We see as the New Testament unfolds and as Paul teaches, there is one Spirit, but there are different gifts. Saw a quotation from a speaker saying that sometimes the Spirit comes and there is ecstasy and there is no tongue. Sometimes the Spirit comes and there is no ecstasy and there are tongues. Sometimes the Spirit comes as we pour out our hearts to God in a time of suffering. Sometimes the Spirit comes in quiet ways and noisy ways and ways in between. I have a sense that our temperament is important here and our background. There is one Spirit, but we are made unique people, different people. And sometimes I think we respond to the working of the same Spirit in different ways. God is working in our lives. God is touching our lives. But because he knows what's best for us, because he loves us, because he wants to give his good gifts to us, he works in our lives in different ways, depending on our calling and our temperament and the sort of people that we are. We don't need to get het up about this. We don't need to be sort of pent up about this and anxious. God, in his grace and mercy, comes to us in many, many different ways. We accept one another. We love one another. We recognize that the filling of the Spirit is for all, but it will look different for different people. Thinking about what happens here in Acts 2, I think there's a couple of things to say. First of all, there is something here that is unique. And we do need to recognize this. The fire that comes, the wind that blows, that doesn't usually happen. Not in this way. The other languages and the people who have come from all different places and who hear the good news. There is something again about this that is foundational for the church. The Spirit has already been poured out on God's people. And if you are a believer in Jesus, you receive at your conversion because of Pentecost. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. The Spirit has been poured out on all of God's people. So there is a sense that this is a one-off event in the history of the church. But there is also something here that is repeatable. We see that as the book of Acts unfolds. In Acts chapter 4, for example, they are filled with the Spirit again. And they're filled with the Spirit here. They're filled with the Spirit again. God works in a different way. And so he continues to touch their lives. And as we move out into the rest of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we put this in a wider framework, we read verses like Ephesians 5:18, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing thing. It's for Christian believers who have received the Spirit to live and to move and to receive afresh God's power. And so, putting this in a biblical framework, we receive the Spirit at conversion. As we turn to God in faith, as we ask him to come and save us, as we trust in Jesus and God as our Father, he forgives our sins and he comes by the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Romans 10 verse 9 is just one text that speaks about that. And we have received the Spirit. No one who believes in Jesus, who has put their faith in him, needs to be afraid that they do not have the Spirit of God. But we are still called to go on being filled. The present, continuous tense. And again, that can come to us in a number of different ways. Moments of consecration, moments of worship, moments when God comes and it's almost like a rushing wind and it's almost like tongues of fire and we feel God's presence burning within us. But it can also come in quiet ways through a regular diet of Bible and prayer and consciously depending on God. And so I want to encourage us to be open to all that God wants to do in us and for us as a church by his Spirit. One gathering, one church, the same Spirit, but God dealing with us in different ways. A body working together with different gifts, not all the same. Paul talks about this so powerfully. Some of us are our heads, some of us are our hands, different parts of the body. We need each other. It's going to be different from one person to another. Different gifts, different experiences, but one Spirit and the unity that we have together. And this is vital. And I do want to encourage us. There's a lovely quotation that's going up on the screen from the Anglican leader who died a number of years ago, John Stott. This is so powerful. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without a breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. Do we need to press on in the life of discipleship? We need the Holy Spirit. Do we need life flowing through us? We need the Holy Spirit. Do we need to understand God's word? We need the Holy Spirit. Do we need a deeper fellowship within our gathering here, within the whole church, within our small groups? Then we need the Holy Spirit. Do we need more Christ-likeness of character? Then we need the Holy Spirit. Do we want to reach out? Do we want to reach out to the homes around this building? Do we want to reach out in our families, in our places of work? Then we need the Holy Spirit. Told some of you this, but when visiting my friends in Garstang, as I often do, I run along the beach and it's pre-salt sands, it's very exposed, it's incredibly flat, and when there is a wind and when you are running into it, it is hard going indeed. And you almost feel yourself getting blown back. But when you turn and when you run with the wind, then it's absolutely joyful and wonderful. I think, well, I'm actually fitter than I realised that I was. And of course, that's not the reality. It's just that this gale is blowing at my back and it will be almost hard not to move. And that, I think, shows the difference. With the Spirit, we are still fully engaged. We are called to run in this image, and we are called to run well. And yet it's like running with the wind rather than into the wind. Sometimes I know in my past, in the work that I've done, I've been running into the wind because God has directed and I have not followed, because I've not been praying, because I've not been consciously depending on God's Spirit, because I've been trying to do it in my own strength, and the reality is that I'm weak. But when I have depended on the Holy Spirit, then sometimes it's been like the wind at my back. Sometimes it's still tough. Sometimes it's a struggle, because that is Christian discipleship and we are called to cross-bearing. And yet through it all, you just sense this release, this power. God is working. The wind is blowing and we're moving along. May we be a church that knows the wind of the Spirit at our backs and the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. How do we receive? Well, we'll have a moment in a little while where we can just sit quietly before God and pray for him to come and fill us afresh. And it may be that God comes and does something very unmistakable in your life right at that moment. It may be that you feel something. It may be that you don't. It may be that over the days, you just sense that God is coming to you in a fresh way. However he comes, however he wants to deal with you, be open. But I want to say one more thing from these wonderful verses. Something that is so powerful, and I think when you notice it, is so clear. And it is the weaving together of word and spirit and mission. Again, in our discussion yesterday, we talked about charismatic renewal. We talked about Pentecostal life. It's a group of Anglican ordinands, but a very mixed group, mixed backgrounds. One with a background in black Pentecostalism, others with backgrounds in free churches, and talked about our differing experiences of this. And what I found myself saying as we went through the discussion is, you know, as a participant observer in this, things went wrong, certainly in the circles that I was involved in, probably round about the 1990s, where it became very, very, very experience-based and insular. Talking about my personal experience here, and if your experience is different, then that's fantastic. But it almost became that charismatic renewal couldn't survive without the next experiential hit. I call it sugar rush Christianity, that you have to have the latest experience in order to keep going. And a lot of it was very inward focused, but that is emphatically not what you get here. The Holy Spirit comes, but it is Spirit and Word together and for mission. Just follow these verses through with me one more time. So they're there on the day of Pentecost. They're all together in one place. Why are they there? Because they have responded to the Word of God. They've responded to the Word of Jesus. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait until the Spirit comes. So they are responding to the Word of God. Then the Spirit comes in power and they begin to speak in other languages, and people hear the Word of God, the wonders of God spoken in their own language. The first act of the Spirit is a missionary act, and The word is being spoken out. It is word spoken in the power of the Spirit to the people. It is to do with mission. It is to do with outreach. It is not primarily to do with ecstatic glows and tambourines. Those things can be absolutely great. You know, if you feel the presence of God, then that is so wonderful and it sets us up. Tambourines are a good instrument. Every instrument can be great in the praise of God. We need to be worshippers, but here the Spirit comes and the Word has power and the Word goes out in mission. We could think of them as three interlocking circles. Mission and word together, it's dry and dusty and it feels like we're running into the wind. But the wind of the Spirit on its own, well, that's not what God wants. He wants to send us out in mission. He wants to fill us. He wants to equip us. He wants to challenge us. He wants to meet our needs. Yes, he wants to refresh us. But he wants us to send, he wants to send us out. The Word and Spirit in our hearts, the Word dwelling richly in us, and the Spirit empowering us, that we might engage in mission. That is what we see here in Acts chapter 2. Word and Spirit together and for mission. A while ago, I worked up a phrase, biblical renewal for mission, that over the years I've come back to. I'm sure many, many other people have said something similar. But that is what we're about, I think. That is what we need to be about. That is what Acts chapter 2 is about. It is renewal, but renewal according to the Bible. And it is for mission. May God impress these things on our hearts. May God strengthen us to receive. And as we receive, may we not sit on our hands and just have a nice feeling. May we move out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and to work to the praise and the glory of God. Let's pause together and be quiet.